galaxies of glory, traces of your grace, all creation groaning, the canopy of praise. Holy is your name above it all, your name above it all, your name above it all. Holy is your name above it all, the angels singing on, your praise goes on and on and on and on. Perfect is your love. Blessed are those invited through the ancient doors to glorify the Savior who reigns forevermore. Holy is your name above it all. Your name above it all. Your name above it all.
Hear ye, hear ye. Hear ye, hear ye. We want to welcome you out here this morning. Glad that you could join us here this morning here at Mallory Church of God. Thank God that you made it, that you chose to spend your Sunday morning with us. And honestly, I know that's a big deal. I know a lot of people have young kids, and even though you can tell by my age and the gray hair on the side of my head that I do not have young children, I did at one time. That being said, I know how hard it is to get kids ready and all those things, and I know how sometimes you can have a hard night's sleep with one of them foot stuck in your lower back or whatever, and it'd be easy to not come, but you are here, and we want to thank you for coming this morning. Praise God that you're here. We want you to know that you're welcome here to church, and you're welcome to worship, okay? There's no judgment on you, but we believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you're here the first time or just first several times, if you would like to fill out, if you're able to, fill out that card that's in front of you, connection card, if you will. And we'd absolutely love to get to know a little bit more about you. If you have a prayer request, we want you to know we have people here dedicated to prayer. We have a prayer group comes every Sunday night, matter of fact, and they love to pray. So we'll absolutely make sure that your requests get prayed for. And if you have a situation or circumstance, and just drop them in that back on your way out if you're bashful or shy, okay? No big deal. But we got a couple announcements to do real quick. If you're here, I think Dave's might put a QR code up or something like that. Just a couple announcements is this. This coming Wednesday night, there'll be no service here at the church. And here's why. Okay, we got a week off, and then we're going to start in the growth groups. If you've seen the advertisements on our Facebook page, and if you will, if you're here today, and you'd like to take a real quick picture of that QR code, it'll send you straight to the website where you can sign up for a group, see what groups are being offered. If you're wondering about the internet, just get on your phone, MCOG Guests. Get on that, take your thing, and get signed up, okay? Because we want you to know that you are actually wanted in a group. As we talked this morning about Elijah and Elisha and about how we've got to sit under and grow into what God wants us to do, then you know what? That's part of it. So we want you to know that we want you to do that. We want you to know you're welcome. We're getting ready to worship the Lord. And can I actually have a couple of ushers come up here? We'll do that. One of the big things about it is our tithe and offering. The book of Proverbs actually tells us something pretty specifically about giving to the Lord. As most of you folks know, we've had a lot of coal miners laid off here lately. And so that means that there's people that's going to be struggling a little bit more than normal. And so we don't never know what's coming our way, and the church don't want to ever have to turn anyone down. Okay, so we want you to know that your tithes and offering are always going to be used for the uplifting and building of God's kingdom. But the book of Proverbs actually says, if we'll give unto the Lord of our wealth, then our barns will be full. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to take up your tithes and offering. Whatever you can give, give it as unto the Lord. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but also worship, giving and worship go hand in hand. Okay, whether it's your tithes or offering, know this, that God will bless it. He will use it for the uplifting and the building of his kingdom. Leanne, do you care to pray over the offering? As they're doing that, like I said, we want you to listen. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Please don't sit down once they take up the offering. Because as we're getting ready to, Brother Michael comes up here. He's going to do our Brother Michael's going to do our call to worship. We want you to know. We're glad you're here this morning. We want you to feel welcome to lift your hands and worship the Lord.
I shared this with a good friend. Jesus spoke into me when I was at work, of all places. All he told me, grafted. I said, well, what is grafted? I don't understand. So I had to look it up. And it's a plant-based term. If you look at it in herbological, it's actually the process of taking a dormant plant, the top of a dormant plant, and adhering it to the nourishing root of a thriving plant. I'm so thankful that my Father did that for me. As we read in Romans 11, verses 15 to 17, for if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from death? If the dough offered is the first fruits is holy, so is the lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. That nourishing root of the olive tree is our Father. He's accepted the Gentiles in this message, telling the Gentiles, though my people are turning away from me, though my chosen are telling me I'm not who I say I am, I know your hearts are open, and I'm giving you a way back to the family. I'm so happy and so thankful that my Father said, I belong to him.
Yes.
He said, I belong in his house.
Yes, amen.
And I am worthy, just as anybody else is worthy. Whether you know him or not this day, doesn't matter, because he knows you.
Yes, amen.
He knows your heart, knows your intentions, and he's placed you here for a purpose.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're getting ready to worship, and that welcomes him into his house. That lets him know that we want his presence.
Yes.
And I, for one, want him to surround me endlessly and build me up every day, because I can't do it without it.
Amen.
We can't do this world without it. And he has grafted us into this family. He has accepted us as his own. Scripture tells us in John 15 that he is the true vine.
Amen.
And that his Father is the vine dresser.
Amen.
So when our hearts need pruned, God the Father reaches down and touches you. He wants to be in your presence that much that he allowed his son to take that cross for you.
Hallelujah.
The name above all names said that you are worthy. The name above all names said your name is my son, my daughter, and I welcome you this day. So let's welcome him into his house and let's show him with a sense of praise that he has won it today.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath.
I was created for a purpose.
Hallelujah.
An instrument that magnifies out of the shadows, out of the darkness. I'm walking in his marvelous light, so we sing.
Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice. Again I say, rejoice.
We are a nation, a royal priesthood. We glorify and bless your name. Oh, what an honor, oh, what a privilege to lift you up and give you praise. To lift you up and give you praise. To lift you up and give you praise. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Because you are worthy, God, you are mighty, Lord, you are awesome and holy and great. Rejoice, rejoice. Let everything that has breath. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, rejoice.
Hallelujah. Give him some praise in this place this morning. Hallelujah.
I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never stop giving you praise. No, I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never stop blessing your name. No, I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop, never stop giving you praise. No, I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop. Never stop blessing your name. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Rejoice, rejoice, let everything that has breath. Because you are worthy, God, you are mighty, Lord, you are awesome and holy. Rejoice, rejoice, and
praise.
Addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. From the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Oh, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh.
There is peace within your presence. speak Jesus.
Buried my past, and I'm not going. born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Running my way, I know I am yours. I was made for more.
Hallelujah!
I wasn't made to be tempted in a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
You paid the price, the sacrifice for redemption. clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that he calls you yours? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. 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 How many of you received that today? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that he calls you his? Even though we've maybe not always deserving of that, he's so gracious and sort of goes along with the sermon. The whole sermon series that we're beginning this morning, and we had some handouts to give out, and if you didn't get one of those, you want one of those, sort of hold your hand up, and Michael or one of them will bring you a handout. And then two, we made a lot, I know a lot of people like digital stuff, and so we made a digital download too there that you can sort of get that and load up the notes as well, and even download the PDF if you want to hang on to the PDF. And wanted to do that because I sort of feel like, especially the next 3 weeks, want to dig deep into some ideas here on belonging and tie that directly to our vision, which is gather, grow, go. And so you're going to hear that a little bit through what we're doing. And today we're going to start with gather. And as we get ready to go there in 2 Samuel chapter 9, if you want to turn there. I think it'll be up on the board as well. But as you're turning there, I want to mention again, I know Ted mentioned groups earlier. I think last count, we already had 125 or so signed up for groups this time, which is really, really great. And we're really touting groups right now because we see so much growth in those groups. And I believe it's the way that the early church done it. I don't think it's new. I don't think it's a fad. I think it's something that the early church has done. As a matter of fact, it amazes us every time we sort of do group training or whatever, people will sort of go, you know, we used to gather and do that, you know, at one time and didn't even really realize what we were doing there. And that was God using them through what we call now groups, but simply in the scripture, it was them gathering day by day by day and the Lord adding to the church daily. And so if you're not in a growth group and you want to attend that, you're more than welcome. Now let me make a statement about the one on Wednesday night here, which is going to be the one that I lead. Then me and Ted's going to do the switcheroo there about halfway through, but we're going to get you all the way through Jesus the Rabbi. But we're going to sort of split up next steps in Jesus the Rabbi. But if you don't sign up for a group and you know Wednesday night is your night to come to church, that's the catch-all group this time is Jesus the Rabbi. And it's by a book by Dwayne Miller. And if you need that link or whatever, you can contact me or Ted, either one. We can get you the link to that book if you want to get that book and sort of read ahead. Dwayne Miller's a really top-notch minister, in my opinion. Knows a whole lot about the Hebrew culture and the Jewish culture. And he goes into some things about Jesus and even when he was 12 years old and so many things there that really just make sense whenever you read it. And he goes into the temple and he's 12 and they're astonished and all that. Jewish custom sort of said that, when, you know, all the boys go and when they're 12, if you go there and you sort of, and don't let me offend anybody here, it's just their culture. I think if you showed a little bit of promise, y'all with me? If you were a little smart, if you could talk and sort of handle yourself, you sort of got eyeballed for the priesthood, right? But if you were there and you sort of was lagging behind a little bit. They just sort of discarded you and told you to go on and do whatever your dad was doing. That's the reason. Remember when the Bible says that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men? Remember that in Acts when they said, these guys speak with boldness here. They're unlearned and ignorant men. How are they speaking like that? Peter and John was a couple that showed up when they were 12 and they went, y'all need to go back to doing whatever your dad's doing. You know what I mean? But Jesus showed up and he spoke with authority and all this and the boldness, and so that's the reason he got set aside like he did. And so it dives deep into some of the customs, the Old Testament, and just a very rich study. So I said all that to sort of push my group here inadvertently. But Wednesday is the catch-all group. So if you don't sign up for any group but you want to come on Wednesday, you're more than welcome to come to Jesus the Rabbi. So if you have your Bibles, you want to stand with us, we're going to start reading out of 2 Samuel there, chapter 9. And we're going to talk about a little fella here that I've preached on several times, and many of you may remember this through the years, maybe once or twice, and then sometimes the Lord lays it on my heart when I go to other churches. But we're going to use him this morning as a springboard into the fact that you belong here, and there's a place set at the table for you. And you may hear me say this again before I'm done, and that's okay. Sometimes the Lord has to tell us twice. That's why he calls our name twice in the scripture a lot of times, right? Samuel. He's like trying to get your attention. And so the fact of the matter is this: I believe that you belong at the table. I believe God sets a table. I believe God is at that table and he is present. And Jesus is at the door saying, if you'll open up, I'll come in, I'll sup with you, you with me. We can have fellowship. And when we gather on Sundays, I need you to understand that that gathering revolves around the idea that God is here and he desires you to be here and to be in that empty place so that he can minister to you. And we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about the fact that sometimes you feel like you don't belong here. And I don't mean at this church, but I mean you don't belong in the presence of God. But through Mephibosheth, which is a great example of salvation that we'll see this morning, you're going to see that no matter what shape you're in, no matter how bad your limp is, no matter how bad you're beat up, you've got a place at this gathering. Amen? How many of you are glad that God don't just close the dinner table off and shut the door when you got something going on in your life? All right, so in 2 Kings chapter 9, it says, David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, the servant is he. In other words, I'm the one. Is there not any in the house of Saul that I can show kindness, the kindness of God to? And that word kindness there that he uses, we're going to dive into because it's very important. And he says, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. He's crippled. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And where he's at is important as well. And David said, fetch him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. Notice there, David called his name. Again, something that's very important. And he answered and he said, behold thy servant. David said unto him, do not fear. I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore you out of the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. You will always eat bread at my table. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that you should look upon him such a dead dog as I am? That was Mephibosheth's response, was, what do you mean I get to eat at your table? I'm like a dead dog in your sight. The king called Saul's servant and said unto him, I have given unto the master's son all that pertained to Saul and all to his household. So he restores everything that belonged to Saul to Mephibosheth. He said, therefore thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him and bring forth the fruit from the master's son may have food to eat. So not only is David bringing him in saying, you got table, you got a place at my table, he's saying this, I'm assigning people to take care of you, because back then there was no programs to take care of people like that. They had to depend on the hospitality and the kindness of others. And now he had the attention of the king, and the king says this, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to make sure that they grow your garden, that they bring you what you need and what you want. And he said unto the king, according to all that my lord has commanded his servants, so I'll do. And Mephibosheth said to the king, he shall eat at my table as one of my king's son. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. And so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. And right on cue, he reminds us that he was lame on both of his feet. You can be seated if you wish. I think the key verse here is when David says, don't be afraid, I'm going to show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I'm going to restore to you everything that was taken from your father. The idea that David sends for Mephibosheth and brings him to the king's table is astonishing on so many levels, and we're going to try to unpack that today as we go. But I need you to understand that Mephibosheth was not able to come to the table himself. He was lame. As a matter of fact, I've preached this before and called him the lame loser from Lodabar, because he was crippled on both feet, couldn't help it. We'll find out in a minute that his nurse dropped him when he was 5 years old. They're under siege, and she runs out of the house, and she's carrying him, and when she drops him, both of his feet become crippled, both of his legs become permanently broken. He's not able to be fixed. He doesn't have the things that we have nowadays. Can you imagine how he depended on others around him to take care of him? Not only that, his household now had lost the kingdom. Bernard, if everything would have held serve, he could have been king one day. And David becomes king. And of course, we know what happens to Saul. And because of that, now his family has lost their lineage. He no longer has access to a place to even be mentioned with a king. As a matter of fact, and I may mention this again, but it was in the idea back then that if anybody out of the former king's family was alive, they were to be destroyed so that they wouldn't rise up against the new king. David does totally the opposite. He says, don't kill him. You go get him, and I'm going to show him some kindness. And so what I need you to understand is God does the same thing for you and I. When you read the Old Testament, there's so many types and illustrations that help you and I, and most of them boil down to this: salvation and our relationship with God. And this one is a great example of that, because it shows a king with a table set and an empty chair for someone who doesn't deserve it, who's messed up and broken, somewhere in a place called Lodabar that we're going to get into in a few minutes. And the king says, come and sit around my table. Now, the table has lost some of its luster in the day that we live in, because many of us don't sit around the table and eat anymore. But how many of you grew up in a generation where, especially on Sundays, I remember we'd go to my grandmother's, she would make a big meal, we'd all sit on the front porch, play with the cousins, what have you, and then she would say, dinner's ready, and we'd all go in. We still do it at our house and at Joan and Arlen's house. We all get together. We all got separate families through the week, and we all come together on Sunday to gather together. And there was something about that table, and if your family was as big as mine was when I was first growing up, and my grandma would do this, you had the kids' table. Anybody ever sat at the kids' table? It was separate, right? But the fact of the matter was, there was a culture of the table and the kitchen table and to eat dinner, because it was a place that you shared one with another. Are y'all with me? It was a place to talk and to fellowship and to connect. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent how our culture is directly opposite of that now. But I want you to understand that's the setting that God wants us to get when we read this, is that the story of Mephibosheth, it absolutely paints the picture of you and I who do not deserve to be in the presence of the king, and yet he visits us every time that we gather together to worship him and we raise our hands. Can I get some kind of response on the fact that when we gather together and raise our hands, God is here? If you felt him this morning, can I see your hand? Aren't you glad that the king is here every time we gather? Gathering is important. Table time is important. So why would the king, who had every political reason to eliminate this rival, search him out? He should have killed him, not showed him kindness. And yet, that's what happens, and that's where the story begins. And I want you to understand, listen, Mephibosheth didn't come to David. David sent for Mephibosheth. And that is powerful. Can I tell you something? People say, well, somebody starts to come to church, they're lost or whatever, and people go, well, they're searching. They're looking. They're digging for something. Let me tell you something. They're not looking. God's speaking to their heart, and he's drawing. If you don't understand anything else, I want you to understand that you just didn't stumble up on God one day. You didn't wake up and go, man, I'd like to be saved. You woke up under conviction because God loved you enough to send the Holy Spirit to you and draw you to him. Are y'all with me? You talk about God's grace. He doesn't wait on you to come looking for him. He looks for you. That's the reason the Bible records that when Adam and Eve sinned, he went looking for them in the garden. Y'all remember that? And he calls out to them, where are you? How many of you know God didn't ask him that because he didn't know any? How many of you know he knew where they were at? Right? He just was saying, hey, come out of hiding and come talk to me. I miss table time. I miss the walks in the cool of the day. I miss seeing you. And I need you to understand that when you miss gatherings, and listen, we're going to talk about it both ways. I'm not saying everything hinges around this, but I'm going to tell you there's some things that hinge on this that you can't get anywhere else. And I don't want to jump ahead, but I'll tell you this. God desires to be in your presence and for you to be in his. How many of you got children maybe that are grown, gone, or maybe those teenage years? And listen, this may be hit and miss with this when I ask this, okay? Sometimes you may want them to leave the house. Right? But for the most part, you like it when they're around. Y'all with me? So can you imagine how much our Heavenly Father says, boy, I long and I desire to be with him. Can I jump all over my message here in about 10 minutes and give you something right now that just hit me? I think it's why the writer of Hebrews said, forsake not the assemblings of yourself, even more so as you see the day approaching. You know why? Because as you see that day approaching, which is the coming of the Lord, it's going to get harder and harder and harder for people to take time to get into the presence of the king and sit down at the table. So this gathering here becomes more important because they don't have time to do it during the week. I got an example for you. Somebody was talking about this and that one time. I said, listen, here's what I know. If we had church every hour and a half, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, somehow we pulled off a service that started every hour and a half, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you know what our attendance would do? It would tank. Somebody go, no, there's no way. If somebody can go anytime they want to, you know what happens if you can go anytime you want to? You never go. Right? I'll do that tomorrow. Then the day comes. Are y'all with me? I'll do that tomorrow. So what happens about our personal experience of getting in the presence of the king? Should you do it? Absolutely. But you know what you usually do? I'll do that tonight. Tonight comes, you're wore out, you're worn to a frazzle. Listen, I'm not getting on to you. We all do it. You start praying, and in 15 seconds, you're laying before the Lord, all right. Looking at the back of your eyelids, right? That's why this, as the day approaches, becomes so important, is gathering together. And I need you to understand that you're not in church today because you are spiritually impressive. I don't care who you are. For me, whoever, you're not here today because you had something about you that God said, boy, I got to have him. You're here today because the king said, is there anybody out there that'll heed my voice? They may not be worthy, but because of what my son done, I'm going to make them worthy. And he sent the Holy Spirit to drag you here to get into his presence, not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. Give him a hand clap of praise. God chose Abram not because he had done something in particular. It was just pure election. God said, I choose him. So I need you to understand that when God gives you this kindness, the word, Hebrew word there for kindness is hasad, that's used here, and it's important. It's not a reward for being worthy. It's a covenant that he made because of his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see David here going and getting Mephibosheth. And the thing that we draw in our mind is this. David wants another friend like he had with Jonathan. David didn't need another friend. And I need you to grab this. David didn't get Mephibosheth because he wanted to be friends with Mephibosheth. David got Mephibosheth because he was friends with his father, Jonathan. Are y'all with me? So when God calls the Holy Spirit to go get you, it's nothing necessarily to say about you, but it's because of what Jesus done on a cross over 2,000 years ago. Are y'all with me? Now listen, you may say, boy, that makes me feel just really bad. Well, I think it should make you feel really good. Do you know why? Here's the way I look at it. Maybe you don't look at it like this, and that's okay. But if God loves me enough to send the Holy Spirit to get me out of my sin and everything that was going on and why I was broken, Bible says, yet we were sinners, yet he loved us, and he sent his son to die for us. If he's willing to go get me and all that, if I had nothing to do with the fact that he drew me here, then I can rest easy that if I just submit myself to him, he's going to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Let me fill you in here. When you accept the invitation to come to the king's table, he says this, you'll be here and you can be here continually, not because of anything you've done, but because of what somebody else done, and his name is Jesus. That word for kindness, it's not just kindness and, hey, I'm going to do you a favor, but really boiled down to a covenant loyalty that could not be canceled out because of the unworthiness of the participant on the other side, of the recipient of that kindness. Let me explain that to you. Through the Old Testament, I've had this conversation with two or three people. It was funny. I thought the Lord was leading me in Judges or something. I think maybe me and Bernard, me and Braden, some of us at different times started talking about the book of Judges. And I think Emily even talked about, and you know what Emily said about the book of Judges? She said, I can't stand Judges. And it's okay to say that stuff. Everybody's got those. How many of you love the Begats? Or in the, you know what I mean? Like, those are hard to read. I ain't going to lie. But she's like, the book of Judges aggravates me. And I said, why? She said, it's the same thing. I said, yes, sir. It's the cycle book. You know what happens? They mess up. They get in trouble in idolatry. They get oppressed by the enemy. They cry out to God. God sends them a deliverer. God delivers them. Then they get into trouble again, get oppressed by the enemy, cry out to God. God sends them a judge that delivers them. And then they get oppressed again. Are y'all with me? So it's a big cycle all through the book of Judges. They get in a pickle. They cry out to God. God delivers them. And what they do in return, they get in another pickle. But isn't it a great illustration of the way you and I do so many times in life? And it shows that God says this, I'm going to honor my covenant. Not because you're worthy of that, but simply because I'm not a man that I'm going to lie. Are y'all with me? By two immutable things God promised when he swore by himself, because he could swear by no greater, that he was going to honor the covenant that he had, that Jesus died for you and I. And so it does not matter how worthy or unworthy you feel. He says this, you have a place at my table. I'm going to show you kindness even when you don't deserve it. You see, Mephibosheth in their culture didn't deserve any kindness. If he'd have got what was coming to him, he would have been killed. As we said, that's what the king usually done, was he eliminated the former king's family. So David didn't go looking for a friend. He actually went looking for an enemy to bring to his table because he had a friendship with his father. God does the exact same thing for you and I. Somehow, and you would think we would move past this now, and this is a little plug here, theologically, New Testament-wise. If you've ever read the New Testament and you figure out that Paul's doing a lot of the writing and a lot of times he's talking about law and grace, and you wonder to yourself, how is this relevant to me? I never lived under the law. I wasn't delivered from the law. I've always been under grace. How is this so supposed to apply to me today? It's because this, a lot of us live under that law and we don't even realize it because we think there's something you got to do to get into the king's, under the king's table into his presence. Maybe if you feel comfortable enough, let me see your hand. Maybe you're past that now, but how many of you in your spiritual walk have ever messed up through the week, whatever, and came in on Sunday morning and just came in and sat down and said, boy, I just don't feel worthy. I'm not going to get in the presence of the Lord this morning. It's totally the opposite of what God promises. Has nothing to do with you. As a matter of fact, I sort of think, I've said this for 5-10 years probably. The generation that's coming up, you know why? They're so much more inclined to get into the presence of God. And I'll tell you why. And listen, don't get mad at me. It's just the way it is. And I think God is using it. You know, people call this, and I think the younger generation take a bad rap. I think my generation that grew up in the 80s takes a bad rap. Listen, we didn't do Woodstock. Y'all did. You want to know when it started going downhill? It was during the 70s and late 60s. So we just got handed what we handed. Was handed. And so that's right. You just do the best you can. And so we hand the next generation something maybe a little more messed up. I don't blame that generation. But that generation gets this bad rap that says, well, they're entitled. And I get that. But you know how that works in church? It works really well for them in church because they come in and they feel entitled to the presence of God. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it, Bernard. That generation right there, they walk in and go, boy, I'm going to get the presence of God today. They don't think about what they've done. They don't let that bother them, and they shouldn't. They get the concept that God's setting a table for you because he loves you, not because you earned it through the week, not because you've done this and that and this and that. He says this, you don't have to get whole before you come to the table. That's what the table is about, is getting whole. Give him a hand clap of praise. You don't find the table finds you. Even in all your brokenness. Because I'm going to tell you something, he goes into sin and he pulls you out of it. You get that? You know where Mephibosheth was? He was in Lodabar. You know what that means? No pasture, no word. No, it was barren. There was nothing growing there. He's hiding out in a place in Lodabar where there's no pasture. There's nothing growing. There's nothing happening. He's dying spiritually, if you will. So I don't care what your Lodabar looks like, whether it's addiction or shame or just being beat down, isolation. I need you to understand that the enemy wants you to hide out there. But the king wants to snatch you from there and bring you into his presence. Are y'all with me? Somebody was. Mephibosheth was hiding where nothing grows. I feel like he probably felt like he was a nothing person. But notice what happens here. And I love this. When David sends for Mephibosheth, I need to paint you the picture that Mephibosheth doesn't have a wheelchair. He doesn't have a way around. Y'all with me? It's way back when. All he could do was be packed around by somebody else. He's there, Ray. He's at the mercy of everybody around him. He's in Lodabar, a place where nothing's growing. Barren, probably thinks, man, I just wish I could go ahead and die. I don't have a future. I don't have anything to look forward to. My family's lost the kingdom. Look at me. I can't even get up and walk around. And yet the king says, go and fetch him. And here's what I need you to understand. If you're lost, if you feel like you're sort of on the outside looking in, if you feel like the things that the enemy throws in front of you trips you up and you can't get into the presence of the king, I need you to understand this, that when David sent his servants to Mephibosheth and said, the king is wanting you to come, I need you to understand that the decision then was up to nobody but Mephibosheth. There was nobody in that household that was going to stop him because it was the king's order. I'm not sure if y'all are getting it or not. Y'all getting it? It's the king's order. He says, come to my table if you want to. Mephibosheth doesn't have to ask anybody. He doesn't have to check what he done last week. I'm trying to paint y'all a picture. He doesn't have to go, you know what? I can't even get to the king. I can't get up and walk. The king's saying this, I got guys that'll pack you in. All you got to do is agree to go. Oh man, I think I'm feeling it better than what y'all are. It's better caught than taught sometimes. What I'm telling you is this, is when you're lost and undone, if you're out of relationship with him, if you feel like there's barriers between you and him on Sunday morning and he calls you into his presence, no demon, no devil, no trouble, no anxiety, no nothing can stand in your way, because it is up to you to get into the presence of the king, because the king says, this table is yours. I don't know about you, but I need that. I have weeks. I have months. I have years. Like everybody else. And you come in on Sunday morning, man, and you're going, and the worship starts, and you raise your hand, and the king is there. Y'all with me? And I don't have to check my book on what I done or didn't do. And did I do this or did I do that? Did I inadvertently make somebody mad or whatever? None of that matters. You know why? Because the king says it's time for me and you to commune. And there is nothing that can stop you from getting in the presence of God, because the king has said so. And if you choose to come, it's going to be, and nobody could even figure this out. Why in the world would the king do this? And that always happens in our economy, in the way that we look at things. This grace is sort of scandalous in the fact that no matter what you've done, God's still saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And it's hard for us to grasp that, because we live in a society where you work and you get paid. Where you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Y'all with me? It's all about a transaction. It's give and take. We don't understand this concept that God says, listen, the table's set, I done paid the price, I'll make the way. All you have to do is make up in your mind, sure, I'll be there. So can I make that practical for you? When a gathering is getting ready to take place on Sunday morning, and you get, and listen, things happen. I'm not one of those guys. Things happen. Nobody's going to be there every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you this. If you get up on Sunday morning and there's things coming in front of you that's trying to keep you out of the house of God, I need you to understand that those are road bumps that God is saying this. That can't stop you if you don't want it to. I don't want to make anybody mad, but sometimes we want it to stop us. There's a difference in having an excuse and looking for an excuse. And I ain't going to settle there. I'm just going to say, fact of the matter is, you get up on Sunday morning and everything comes against you, you don't have to bow to it. You can walk over everything. Sometimes you got to walk over stuff to get into the presence of the Lord. Y'all know that? Sometimes you got to do stuff to get into the gathering here. Sometimes there's price to be paid. Sometimes there's things left undone. I remember one time I was working a lot and, you know, preaching and this and that. And, man, my grass was getting tall. We had a lot of grass where we used to live. I came home one Wednesday and, man, it was tall. Logic said, you need to mow the grass. You know what my spirit said? The grass be there tomorrow. If I don't get to mow it tomorrow, it'll be there Friday. I figured out if I put Emily's ponytail on top of her head, I could keep up with her no matter where she was at in the yard. You know, grass got so bad. Oh, well, love him. Yeah, he done gone to be with the Lord. Now, Charlie Williamson, retired coal miner, he came up to me at church and he went, Sean, I noticed your grass. I said, yeah, Charlie, it's getting high, man. I'm doing everything in the world. He said, I'm going to come mow that for you tomorrow. I didn't say no, don't worry about that. Not at all. Listen, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I said, man, I really appreciate that. You know why? Charlie wanted to serve in some way. Why take that opportunity away? I needed my grass mowed in some way. Why not heed this opportunity that lay before me? But my point is this. I could have said, no, I'm going to do this. But you know what my spirit said? The King is beckoning you. Do you want to get into His presence? Because nothing can stop you. Nothing can stand in between you and His presence. Instead of hiding in Lodabar, in this place where there's no pasture, come sit at the King's table. Most people assume they need to find their way out of Lodabar, find their way out of their situation that they're in order to sit at the King's table. But can I draw attention to the fact that the King sent for Mephibosheth when he was still in Lodabar? Y'all with me? So he was still in the mess he was in. He was still broken. And the King said, come sit with me. You don't have to get out of the mess you're in to get to the table. The table is to get you out of the mess that you're in. Are y'all with me? So you don't have to do something and jump over a hurdle and do this and check this off to get in the presence of God. You got to get in the presence of God to get over that hurdle and to do that check mark and do this and do that. It's the don't get the cart before the horse here. You get into the presence of God, and then all those other things are able to for you to overcome because you're in the presence of King. It's not about getting over those things to get in His presence. It's about getting in His presence so you can get over those things. So what happens here when he shows up? Mephibosheth says this, I'm a dead dog. Boy, he had a self-esteem problem. Some of you are probably too young to remember this. I sort of revived this. I sort of keep some of the old ways through my kids, especially Emily. She's an old soul. And I think I remember his name correctly. On Saturday Night Live, Stuart Smalley. Y'all remember him? Anybody watch? Oh, y'all so holy y'all didn't ever watch Saturday Night Live or what? I'm talking about years ago when I was growing up. I watched Saturday Night Live and there was this dude. Go home and Google him or YouTube him, you young folks. Stuart Smalley. He had a problem about self-perception. So every day he'd look in the mirror and he'd say, I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. Doggone it, people like me. And Emily was struggling with self-esteem in college, so I sent her that YouTube video. I'm a real good support system for things like that. Said, you need to tell, and she made a video of her doing it and sent it to me, and I laughed. We had a good laugh out of it. I would say that Mephibosheth here needed some help from Stuart Smalley's class of self-esteem. When you show up and your first words is, I'm a dead dog. You know what the king says? Notice here, he doesn't say, you're right. Or he doesn't say, you're not worthy to be here. Remember when God spoke to Moses and Moses said, who am I? You know what God didn't say is as important as what he said? God didn't say, well, you're an old man that's been hiding for 40 years because you're scared. You stutter. You're right. I probably can't use you. He didn't say that at all. He said, listen, it's all about who I am. Y'all with me? So it's not about who you are. It's about who he is. We don't need some kind of self-esteem. We need some kind of God esteem, if you will, to say it's because of what Jesus done. And if we allow ourselves to not come to the king's table because something's sitting in our way, we're saying this, what you done, Jesus, isn't enough for me. When he paid that ultimate sacrifice that we celebrated last Sunday, he done that so you and I could get into the presence of the God of all the earth and creation at the table and come and commune with him. So Mephibosheth said, I'm a dead dog. David calls out his name, and he does it for a reason. In the Jewish custom, the way it was back then, if you were going to restore a person and restore their household, the very first thing you done was called their name. Because when they lost everything, they became nameless. Nobody cared to mention their name. As though they just drifted off the face of the earth. But when Mephibosheth comes and he falls down at the king's feet and he says, I'm a dead dog, the king doesn't say, you're right. He says, Mephibosheth, he calls you by name. Aren't you glad that he doesn't call you by what you used to do? Are y'all with me? He doesn't call you because of something you didn't do. He doesn't call you because of he doesn't call you by this or by that or what used to be. Listen, we live in an area, in a community that's awful bad to judge people by their last name. I've been told more than once. Walker. I've been told that more than once. Matter of fact, I remember Perry Harvey one time was in the hallway back there, and Michael was a little fella coming through there, and he went, we want to see how much Walker's in him. He walked by and he punched him in the arm like that, and Micah just looked at him, walked on by, he said, not a whole lot, or he'd have come swinging. Just had that name. Throw fists, get mad. We judge people by their last name. God says, I don't care what your last name is. You get a new name written down in heaven. Y'all with me? When I call you into my presence, you get a brand new name. You aren't known as you were, but you're known in the newness of life. And when they sat down at that table, and I'm going to finish, I need you to understand that just as the king was there waiting on Mephibosheth, God is there waiting on you. Jeffrey, do you care to play God? Wouldn't you like to do that for a day? I'll let you do it for 3 minutes here. Terry, we're going to call you Mephibosheth, brother, but we ain't going to carry you, all right? Y'all laugh, but I made them carry me at one time. They were sort of paying up, trying to get out of it. Like, if you pack him, I'll give you $20. But I need you to understand, King David was sitting at the table. God is sitting at the table. And as Mephibosheth, you don't have strength. You don't have the faculties to get to the table. But God says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to pack you to the table. Have you ever walked through the door back there and go, man, if it wasn't for the Spirit of the Lord, are y'all with me? I had a week. I had a day. I just don't know that I could get into the presence of God. But when the Holy Spirit comes and gets you and leads you into the presence of God and get your... Now listen, before Mephibosheth sits down, I need you to understand that this was the problem. This was the issue right here. But when he sits down at the table and takes his place, nothing can be seen from here down. And the table, the grace covers that issue that Mephibosheth had when he showed up. And now it's just you and God face to face so he can share his glory. Because the things that held you back, the things that keep you crippled, is under the table of grace of God. And you're able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Whatever's holding you back, if you can, just allow the Spirit of God to drag you, because he'll drag you when he needs to get you into the presence of God, to get that thing covered by the grace of God so you can sit in the presence of God. I wonder if you'd stand with me, if you would. I need you to understand that this belonging in this gathering, in this house of God, it's rooted in adoption through the Spirit, not in some kind of an achievement that you do. I need you to understand that this table, listen to me, this table is not for the perfect. It's for the perfecting. If you wait to get perfect, to get into the presence of God, you're going to be waiting a long time. But if you can ever flip it in your mind that this table is not for the perfect, but it's for those that are willing and invited and want to be perfected, we'll be getting somewhere. God's saying this, you don't have to be perfect. Just as David went and got that crippled guy, that just as David went and got that broken individual, just as when David went and got that guy that didn't have the faculties to get to where he was at, God is able to do the same for you. All you have to do is nod your head yes. I need to get something that, I've said it before, but I feel like I got to get it across one more time. And then we're going to move on. I need you to understand where Mephibosheth is at. He's helpless. He totally helpless, can't do anything on his own. Not because of something he done, but because of a fall that had taken place. You and I, without Christ, are completely helpless. Not because of anything we done necessarily, but because of the fall of man. We were all born into sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when God says, I want you to come and sit with me, I need you to understand, put yourself in Mephibosheth's place when he's totally helpless and the king's servant shows up and says, the king is inviting you to his table. You don't have to look to your right. You don't have to look to your left. Benny, all you got to do is nod your head, I'll go. It's that simple. Before we go any farther, if there's someone here this morning that is lost, I need you to understand that if you feel that tug on your heart, it's the Spirit of God saying this, the King, he desires for you to have a seat at his table. And I tell you something, there's always an empty chair left at the table. It's got your name on it. And all you have to do is nod your head yes. The enemy will go, well, what about this? What about that? You know how you handle this. You know what you're into. You know this. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about all that. You allow the King to bring you into his presence. And I promise you this, you'll never have to walk another day without him. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you don't know him, I need you to understand there's a table that is set for you this morning that has your name on it. If you're here this morning, maybe you feel like you've been living in Lodabar. Nothing going on. Dead inside spiritually. You need revived. You got a seat at the table. Maybe you just go, you know what? I need to feel the presence of God the way these crazy people talk about feeling the presence of God. There's a seat at the table. And nothing, not a situation, not a person, not a devil, not a demon, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that you have in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is heed the call, nod that head, and come to the King's table. I wonder if we could raise our hands right where we're at just for a few moments. Here's what I want to do this morning before we close. We're going to have baptism.